Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to just read these verses and just kindly try to mind the Lord and share what the Lord's laid on my heart and begin to deal with me about. He deals, a lot of the, in fact, most of the things I preach to you, the Lord starts dealing with me about it. It's hard for me to preach to you about something when I'm out in left field on it. Amen. So I've got to get myself where I can deal with it as well. But in verse 10 says, finally, my brethren. So we know who he's talking to. This is a passage that addresses God's people, and we ought to be, as soon as we hear that brethren term, we ought to be all ears. Because we are in the family. We're in the whole family. In fact, chapter number, I was looking at this one day this week as well. Paul was praying for the Ephesian believers, and he addressed them in chapter number, let's see, where is it? Chapter 3, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I'm in that family. You're in that family. Anyway, he said, family, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Power of His might. Put on, that is, you do it. Don't stand still and hope God does it. When he says here, be strong, verse number 10, that's you, you do that. It's your responsibility to do that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on, that's another word that identifies responsibility. You do it. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse number 13, wherefore take, here's another word of responsibility, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking, another word of responsibility. I believe we pointed out three or four or five, and there's another one in verse 17, and on down into verse 18, and so forth, those words of responsibility. And I believe that one of the things that the Holy Spirit's mentioning to my heart right now is that many times, most of the time, if not all the time, when I'm defeated, it's a breakdown in my responsibility. It's not a breakdown in the resources. Amen. Y'all go ahead and be seated. It's not a breakdown in my resources. There's never going to be a problem with His power and His might in verse 10. Y'all agree with that? There's never going to be a problem with the armor. There's never going to be a problem with our resources. The problem is with our responsibilities. But here's what I'm finding across the board in churches everywhere, and that is that we're breaking down in our responsibilities. Even though our resources are adequate, our resources are available. Our resources would make us more than conquerors. But most people are living defeated lives. We have the power of His might available and accessible for us. Y'all agree with that? Is that not what He's showing us here? Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. The resources, they're still sufficient. Amen. They're still able. God's still able. And here he's showing us how that we can have victory, how that we can walk in victory and war even in victory. But anyway, he says, I guess we got to verse 16. I guess we did, didn't we? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Another word coming up, and take. It don't just find itself on your head spiritually. You've got to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we've read those scriptures many times. You've heard it preached and taught, but yet it deals with us having victory tonight. Amen. And I noticed reading through those verses just now that every time he would say a word of responsibility, it would be followed up with a consequence. Did y'all notice that? I don't know that I'd ever noticed that or not, but put on the whole armor of God, and then here comes the consequence, that you may be able, verse 11, to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Come down, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. Another word of responsibility. Why? Here's the consequence, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. And then it comes down to verse number 16, taking the shield of faith. Consequence, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And take, verse 17, and here comes the consequence, of taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. He couples those two together. I think that's interesting, which is the Word of God. And then it flows right into the verse number 18, where we have perseverance and we're able to watch and so forth. But here's the thing that I want to deal with tonight, as the Lord will just hopefully help me tonight, and He is helping me thus far. And that is that I want to propose a question to start with. Is the devil defeated right now? Now, I'm not asking you to give an answer based on what you see in the mirror. Is the devil defeated right now? That's just a simple yes or no question. How many would say yes? Scripturally, how many would say yes, or how many would say no? Anybody in here say no, the devil's not defeated. He is defeated. He is defeated, and if he is defeated right now, that means he forever will be defeated. If he's not defeated tonight, 2,000 years after the cross, then when is he going to be defeated? And if the cross didn't take care of business, then who's going to handle him? Who's going to rise to defeat him again? He's been definitely defeated scripturally ever since Calvary. Thank God. That's right. He was, yes. Well, here's the thing that God dealt with me about. God asked me yesterday, can I defeat the devil? That's a good question. Can I defeat the devil? Simply, just based on our last question, that answer's clear. Brother Fultz got it wrong. Yeah. But me personally, or you personally, are not able. One, we're no match for him. I know what Brother Fultz is talking about, and that is right. Through God, through the resources, that's what's presented in Ephesians 6. Now, I'm talking about just me personally. I can't defeat the devil. One, I am no match for him. Two, I can't defeat the devil because I can't see him. He's a spirit being. I can't wrestle with him. I can't shoot him. I can't cut him. I can't hang him. I can't lock him up in a jail cell. So therefore, I can't defeat him. How can you defeat an enemy you can't see or you can't get a hold of? Amen. I can't defeat him not only for those two reasons, but I can't defeat him personally because he's already defeated. Which tells me, why should I be trying to defeat him? So the Lord just simply asked me, and I guess I know why. I know now, right now, why he asked me that. It's because I spend most of my time trying to. I spend most of my time trying to defeat the devil, and usually there is a defeat that comes out of that, but it's usually me. Are y'all listening? But the Lord spoke to me. I'm telling you, it was clear. I feel a witness, I'm telling you. It wasn't, when the Lord asked me about can you defeat the devil? And I meditated on that, and my answer was no, I cannot. I'm too small. I can't see him. I can't grab him. He's had 6,000 plus more years of experience than me. He's already whipped a lot more that are stronger spiritual than I will ever be. He's done, took them to the cleaner, so to speak. Amen. If he could whip, and you look through the scriptures, I mean, you find even some of the giants of the faith, you find at times the devil's whipped them. You find the devil's whipped them. Well, here's the thing the Lord spoke to me after I come to the conclusion I can't defeat the devil. The Lord said, but you can defend against him. Now, Brother Bill, there's a difference between defeating the devil and me defending against him. Now, listen, our passage of Scripture deals with that. And let me present this to you. And this is just going to be simple, but I think we need something simple. I think I need something simple, something personal, something practical, something that's going to be effective in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being a punching bag and a doormat. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of, and I've even prayed. I said, Lord, it cannot be your will that all of your people or most of your people dragging their tracks out, never smile, never have any joy. And that cannot be God's will. That cannot be the product of Calvary. That just cannot be. But most of us are there. We're just whipped and defeated. We drag to church. We drag out of church. Amen. Come on now, that's right. We can't defeat the devil, but we need to take and defend ourselves. All right, let me ask you this. How do we do that? Let's look at our armor here. Let's look at our armor. Now, I'm not going to go in a lot of detail here, but I'm going to give you something that the Lord spoke to me about. When he said, take on the whole armor of God, he mentions the whole armor, verse 11. He mentions the whole armor again in verse 13. I believe that's got an emphasis that's important in and of itself. Whole armor. Don't pick and choose. Oh boy. Take on you the whole armor. Don't leave nothing out. Just as sure as you leave one out, that'll be the target that the enemy. Do you think the enemy knows if you don't have that breastplate on or that helmet of salvation on or the feet, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Do you think he knows when that's missing? And do you think that if he knows that, he's gonna divert his attention away from that and feel sorry for you because you're a pitiful Christian and I'm a pitiful Christian? No, if he knows that, you've got a vacancy and an empty spot and a place where you failed, amen, to adjust your life and put on that piece of armor, that's where his scope and his crosshairs and his target and his aim is going to be. He's not going to deal with the areas that are covered and protected. My goodness, I want you to get this. Now, it's so plain. How do you defend? This is simple right here. You've got to put something between you and the enemy. I mean, isn't that what a defense is? You have offense and defense. What's the defense? Where is their position? Their position is between the offense and the goal line. Amen. That's where you put a defense. You put a defense in its rightful position to where it will block any efforts made of scoring. So if the devil's wanting to score in my life, and he is, he wants to destroy all of us. He won't shed a tear if every home here is destroyed before this weekend. He won't care if every young person in here are absolute alcoholics and dope heads before Sunday. He won't care a bit. In fact, that is his plot. That is his plan. But listen now, I can't grab him and put him in some kind of a hole, amen, stab him. him, shoot him, kill him. I can't do that. But I tell you what I can do. I can put something between me and him. Oh, boy. I can put something between me and him. And you think about that. If something's between me and him, then he has to deal with that instead of me. Woo-hoo! Amen. Somebody blow the whistle, that's right. Hey, man, if something's between me and him, then he's not dealing with me. He's dealing with whatever it is, amen, or whoever it is that's between me and him. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's look at it here. Amen. Boy, I feel a witness, strong witness. Look at this right here. Having verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. That's putting something between you and the enemy. Putting truth between you and the enemy. And I'm not going to have time to get in tonight with all the how that armor was and had all hooked together and all that stuff. I'm just mainly wanting to build on what I just told you about putting something between you and the enemy. Amen. Putting truth there. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Think about that. That's just simply, instead of being just wide open for a kill shot, put something there that can handle. Put something there between you and the enemy. Put something there that'll guard your heart. Amen. Amen. Put something there that is a breastplate that can handle the shots, that can handle the fiery darts, amen. How hard is that? But no, here's what we'll do. We'll leave off the breastplate because of it being a breastplate of righteousness. Yeah, we don't want that righteousness part. And so we're willingly leaving off the breastplate, which is the righteousness. Practical righteousness is typical and illustrated as a breastplate. And then our hearts openly exposed to anything the devil throws at it. See, we want the benefits of the protection without putting that breastplate on. Amen. I don't have time to deal with it tonight, and I've dealt with it at length before, but all of these different parts of the armor deals with something practical in your life. This is not, you say, preacher, how do you get up in the morning and put on the breastplate of righteousness? Just get up in the morning and be mentally conscious that today I'm going to do right. Today I'm going to make right choices. Today I'm going to be interested not just in positional righteousness in Christ, but I'm going to be interested in practical righteousness. And as you start your day and walk through your day and live through your day with making those conscious choices of righteousness, you are covering yourself. You're putting righteousness between you and the enemy. And so the enemy can't get at your heart, Brother Aaron, because you've got righteousness up in the way. Amen. You've put righteousness between you and the enemy. Oh, boy. Look at this. Here's another example, that verse 15. And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Back way in the day, you ran and could walk on rocks and it not hurt you. I remember we used to have foot races, Miss Candy, down our driveway and up at my aunt's and uncle's driveway, barefooted, and never said ouch one time, never said oh, ow, oh. But I'm telling you, you know why? We was crazy, I guess. But we went barefooted a lot and our feet was tough. But my feet ain't tough now. I'm telling you right now, if my foot even, I'm talking about, I'm in a rock that I can't even see. It's so small. I just about go to the ground when I step on it. I mean, it hurts all the way to the top of my head and I about can nearly go to the ground. Ooh, and holler and scream and carry on. Why? Nothing between my feet and the dirt. Nothing between my feet and objects. But now if I put on something, put on a shoe, then I'm putting something between me. And of course, you know the story back in the day, back in those days, that the enemy won great victories by learning and knowing the direction that an army would go in and go way ahead of them and put sharp objects and things in the pathway so that those soldiers, if they did not have a defense on their feet, having something, a protectant between their feet and the enemy's efforts, that they would cripple them, they would injure their feet, which would mean they would injure their walk and would injure, Brother Craig, their standing ability. It don't matter how strong you are if you can't stand. It don't matter how much strength you got and know-how and experience. If the devil can injure your foot, amen, and cause you to limp and cause you to be out of balance, then he's got you. Amen. Are y'all listening? Put something. What are you putting? What am I? That's been on my mind. What am I putting between me and the enemy? I'm going to tell you what I feel like. I feel like I've not been putting nothing. I feel like I've just been right out there saying, here I am, shoot me. Hey, man, use me as a target. Get some practice on me. Instead of going around, Brother Fultz, feeling like a Christian, I'm going around feeling like a porcupine. Amen. Slapped full of quills and fiery darts. Amen. That's what I feel like. And if that's true with me, how much more true or as true would it be with many of you even here tonight? What are you putting? What are you making an effort, responsibility-wise, what are you making an effort to put between you and the enemy? Take the helmet of salvation. Is your head just exposed? Is your head just exposed to whatever the devil wants to do? And he's always specialized in targeting the head. A lot of people gets killed in almost no kind of an accident nearly. I mean, just a little bicycle wreck or whatever. But it's not because that they got mangled up and smashed. No, they had a head injury. Devil wants that head. If he can get your thought life, if he can get your focus and your concentration, if he can get that, then he's got you. He don't care what else you got on. He don't care what else you do. If he can get your thoughts, he's got you. Because if he can get your thoughts, he's got your attitude. He's got your aspirations of future plans and goals. And of course, I hate to use this illustration, but I don't know. It's a good one as I know. I played 9 years of football, and I want to tell you, I would have hated to have played in my daddy's day. My daddy played years ago. I mean, years ago. And they almost had no protection on. I mean, almost no. And I mean, they just hit just as hard as these people do now. I don't see how any of them lived through it. But I'd feel a lot safer when I'd put that helmet on. When I put that helmet on, I knew people was going to be hitting me. Especially when we'd get put in the bowling ring. That was a murder. That was murder. Bull in the ring, and you was the bull. I was the bull. They would have one being the bull, and everybody have numbers, and the coach would start saying, all right, 1, 5, 7, 11, 13, and they'd all 1, 5, 7, 11, 13 coming and hitting you at the same time. Thank God for a helmet. That's all that was left of me a few times was a helmet and a little piece of a chin strap. But I wouldn't be here tonight if I hadn't had that on. That helmet, Miss Debbie, puts a shield, puts a layer between my head and the enemy's attack. What are we putting between us and the enemy? I can't defeat him, Brother Randy, but I can put a defense there. What are we putting between ourselves and the enemy? Here, let's look at it some more. The shield in verse 16, taking the shield of faith. Everybody can see that. Everybody understands that. You've got a hold of it and you're positioning it, but you're putting it in the direction of enemy fire. You're putting it. That's the one part of the armor that's mobile. You can move that shield, and no wonder it's called shield of faith. You can move it. If the enemy's fighting over here, you don't leave the shield over here. I mean, anybody with any sense knows that if this right here is a protection and I'm getting enemy fire from this direction, that I'm going to quickly move that shield over where, come on now, note the position, in between me and the enemy, so that the shield will catch the blows and not me. Well, amen. So anyway, do you see what we're talking about? And I had several scriptures to show, I was going to read tonight about that shows the devil is a defeated foe. If he's a defeated foe, then why are we so defeated? That's a good question. And most of us in here will have to testify tonight that we're not walking in victory. Amen. I mean, we're not out of church. There's more to it than being in or out of church. You can be in church and not even be remotely close to being right with God. We've all done that. That's how we all can know that. Amen. But what are you putting? And that takes purpose. Something is not accidentally going to just get between you and the enemy. Brother Ivan, something is not naturally just going to be there. That's why the enemy's attacking from that angle, because he knows there's nothing there. Amen. But of course, if you're not interested in victory, then what I'm preaching tonight won't mean much. What are we putting between us and the Lord? Well, our text shows us clearly that we can put our armor between us and him. And all of those are attached to our responsibility. Amen. Boy, that'll preach too, I'm telling you. What about this? What about putting not just the soldier's armor between you and the enemy? What about putting the scriptures between you and the enemy? And of course, we know one of the things identified here in verse number 17 is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But I was thinking about it, and listen, you know this as well as I do. When Jesus Christ was attacked personally by the devil himself, which most of us never will have that to happen, because he don't have to. Job had a personal attack by the devil. Jesus had a personal attack. I dare say many of us have. I know I haven't. I've not been of the spiritual caliber that would require the devil himself. Now, oh, get out of the way, demons. Let me get here. Looks like it's going to take me. No. He looks across his list of weaklings, and he finds the weakest one demonic force he has, and he said, go get Preacher Rackley, and knocks me flips for days. Amen. Are we putting the scriptures? But Jesus Christ, he was God manifest in the flesh. And when Jesus Christ was attacked by the devil, he could have done a source of things. He could have done several things. He could have flipped him with his pinky. He could have just spoke a word and said, be gone. You are forever defeated. I mean, he could have put him in hell right then if he wanted to. But what did he do? He did what you and I are able to do. See, Brother Randy, if he would have spoke with authority and said, you're defeated, and smacked him upside the head or knocked him off a cliff, I couldn't do that and you couldn't either. But when he used the scripture, he was setting a standard that you and I are able to do. Why? Because we have a Bible. What did Jesus do when the attacks came? He put the scriptures between him and the devil. Every time he said, as it is written, and quoted, I believe, all three times out of Deuteronomy. Are you putting, do we? I mean, is this not easy, simple, practical? Do we take an on purpose when there's an attack? Surely we have enough sense to know there's an attack. Surely we do know that, don't we? As a person, individually, do we know that as a church? Collectively, when the devil's fighting, and then do we focus our attention toward that attack and purposefully put the scriptures between us? Do we do that? I'll tell you what, most time we do. I've done my share of it. The attacks is coming from this direction. I do this number. Don't bother me. Instead of turning around and realizing that if the devil has his way, then he's not just going to follow you, he's going to wreak havoc in your path as you run off. Put the script. We put the soldier's armor between us and the devil, the enemy. Do we put the scriptures between us and the enemy? I tell you what, we probably ought to have started with, because this is first one. How many of you have put salvation between you and the devil? If you're not saved here tonight, you're on his team. I hope you understand that. If you're not saved, you're on his team. Listen, that means you're carrying the ball for him. He's using your life in his warfare to fight against the church, the word of God, the kingdom of God, and even your family. Amen. The devil used Peter, he can use you, I promise you. Jesus looking at Peter as a saved man and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He wasn't calling the devil, he was just recognizing that Peter was being used of the devil. So that's first base, really. Have you put salvation between you and the devil? Well, I remember that. 37 years ago, this coming January, I got saved, and that made me enemies of the devil. Instead of buddies, pals, and a friend, instead of carrying the ball for him and, amen, letting him call the plays and me scoring touchdowns for him, amen. Oh, I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. So salvation, is that between you and the devil? Scriptures, the soldier's armor, is that between you and the devil? What about supplication? What about prayer? Verse 18 of our text, Ephesians 6, talks about prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer. Do you put prayer? Come on, isn't that a simple question? Isn't that a simple question tonight? That when there's an attack going on in your life personally and your family and our church, do you consciously choose to be responsible and put prayer between you and the enemy? I know that we all probably, we're not scoring too high on the test tonight. But I wonder how many of us, when we sense, listen, we ought to be close enough to God that we know what an attack is. When we sense an attack, I wonder how many of us right then, immediately, goes and prays about it. Most of the time we don't. We just try to take it ourselves and try to endure to the end ourselves. Maybe we're focusing on endurance instead of enjoyment. Amen. Well, anyhow, amen. Put prayer, supplication. You remember when Jesus sent the disciples in the ship to go to the other side? You remember that? And the Bible said, Brother Jeff, that when he did that, he went in apart to a mountain to pray. While they were out there encountering the storm, while they were out there thinking, oh, Lord, we're not going to make it, where was Jesus at? Jesus was on the mountain doing what? Praying, which is typical even now of his intercessory prayer. He's thank God, not on a mountain now. He's on the throne, and he's praying and interceding for us. Amen. He is a high priest that can get things done. Oh, boy. Do we put prayer between us and the enemy? Amen. What about the Spirit of God? What about the Spirit of God? Do you put the Spirit of God between you and the enemy? How do you do that? By submitting to Him, by surrendering to Him, by allowing Him to lead you, guide you, control you, fill you. Listen to this verse in Isaiah 59, verse number 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. But this mandates that you have a spiritual relationship with the Spirit of God. In fact, that is what spirituality is. It's not how many goosebumps you have. It's not how loud you shout or how many pews you can jump. It's not none of that. Spirituality is measured totally by your relationship to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. God help us. Do you put the Spirit of God there? The Spirit of the Lord's able to lift up a standard against him, which means it's between him, between the enemy that's pouring in like a flood. I feel like that's the description of us many times, even of late, is that it feels like the enemy's pouring in like a flood. Does anybody here besides me feel that, sense that, see that? I don't think I'm imagining that. I don't think that I'm just, you know, discouraged and I'm just imagining these things. No, I believe that we are on the receiving end of a flood of the devil's attacks in this church. And running would be the easy choice. Blaming somebody else would be easy. Yeah, it's her fault, his fault, their fault. I need to look in the mirror and say, Lord, it's my fault. All of us are responsible. All of us are accountable. All of us are a part of this work. I know everybody that comes here often is not members, but still yet you're here. And you're raising your family here. You're sitting under the preaching here, participating here. And the devil, buddy, when he pours it, listen, you better be able to, listen, don't you think we need to learn how to do that? When the enemy shall pour in like a flood, does that not show us that that's what the devil can do? That that's what his potential is, to pour in like a flood? Can you handle a flood? Has anybody ever been anywhere where there was a flood? I was raised in Rosman, North Carolina. Y'all knew that. Well, Rosman, North Carolina is the head of the French Broad River. North Fork, West Fork, Middle Fork, where I was raised, East Fork, all of them in a short distance comes in together and starts making the French Broad River. And I mean, in Asheville, North Carolina, the French Broad River is probably 150 to 200 yards wide. It may not be too deep, but it's sure wide. And so when we'd have a lot of rain, and that was just those main contributaries, there was all kinds of little small creeks, Middle Fork Creek, you know, there was some other little small branches and little small springs that fed into it. And when we'd have a lot of rain, I'm going to tell you, Rosman would get flooded with the French Broad River. It would overflow its bounds. It would go through town. I'm talking about all through town it would be flooded. Can you handle that? Can you go find the spigot and turn that off? No, of course not. I can't handle a flood. You can't handle a flood. Amen. I tell you what I want to do when a flood starts, evacuate. Say amen right there. But the Bible said when the enemy shall pour in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And he's going to use you to do it. You can't just sit back and say, all right, Spirit of God, get them. You can't just, no. Spirit of God, hello, this is very basic Bible truth. The Spirit of God uses people. The Spirit of God, show me where he does much of anything apart from people. The Spirit of God is able to take care of the flood of the enemy, but he's needing somebody to do it with. And there's a plenty right here tonight to turn the tide. Say amen right there. How about putting submission between you and the devil? James 4, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, we like that, don't we? Submission, resist the devil and flee from us, Brother Fultz. But you don't have power to do that. You don't have power to do that in yourself. That's why we must do the first one first. First mention there, submit yourself. That is, you do it. Submit yourself. Brother Bill, that's a military term. Submission and rank. Bringing yourself underneath willfully and obediently. Bring yourself underneath the rank of authority. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Bring yourself under his authority. Amen. Do we put submission? I'm being attacked, so I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure I'm submitted. No, that ain't what we do, is it? We think it's spiritual to pout. Yeah. I'll tell you, devil, I'm going to get you, buddy. I'm going to cry a million tears. And I'm going to whine and blame. I'm going to do all that. Now, devil, you're going to get whipped now. I want you to know that. No. He gets his resistance when you do your submission, which energizes and equips and makes you able to do the resisting. Amen. And once you resist, then the Bible says, and he shows us a very key part right here of what the devil does, Miss Candy. When we resist him, what does the Bible said he'll do? Flee. You know why? He hates it. You know why he does that, Brother Jeff? He can't do much where there's resistance. He's got to have acceptance. He's got to have agreement. He's got to have consent. He's got to have somebody saying, yeah, I know, devil, they are doing bad, ain't they? Yes, devil, they are talking about me terrible. No, but where there's resistance, submit yourself, bring yourself, put submission to God between you and the enemy so that when the devil starts his attacking, it's got to hit that submission. Amen. And submitting yourself to God, you're bringing yourself under his authority. You know what that does, Sister Debbie? That includes him in your business. Your warfare becomes his warfare. I mean, I don't know, Brother Bill, you help me, you're in the military. I don't know how it is. I know how it used to be, I think. United States of America would stand behind one soldier. If one soldier was in trouble, been taken captive, whatever, the United States of America would go to bat for that one. Is that still the way it is? I know that's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. Amen. Because that soldier submitted to the authority of the government and the authority of the nation that he's representing and fighting for. And so when the enemy attacks him, if he's still submitted as a faithful soldier, then that will draw the fire and the attack of the whole nation. Oh boy. So when I'm submitted to God, I'm under his rank, I'm being obedient, I'm being faithful, I'm not AWOL, say amen, amen. I'm trying to be faithful, I'm trying to stay true to the one I'm serving and fighting for, and so, amen. So when the enemy starts fighting me, oh, then the one I'm submitted to gets the attention and says, oh, buddy, and brings in the forces. Well, there's so many examples of that. Boy, when Elisha and his servant pinned down, completely surrounded by the enemy, pinned down. Mm-hmm. But God's man was submitted to God, serving the Lord, honoring God, amen. God had used him. Well, amen. God knew and seen what was happening. And God sent reinforcements. And that servant got up early one morning and went out. And he comes back screaming, "Master, Master, what of the day?" Put that in Tennessee, Hawkins County language is, "Lord, what in the world are we going to do? We're done now. Yet, does your cell phone signal working so I can call home? I'm leaving." But the man of God never even hardly got the sleep out of his eyes. And he bowed down and prayed, and he said, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." Isn't it amazing? That just come to me right now. Isn't it amazing that Elisha knew who was really out there without going out and peeking through the tent? He knew, boy, he had confidence in his supporting country, if you will. Amen. The king, he knew that he would not leave him out, hanging him out high and dry, but he'd be faithful. And he prayed and he said, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And that young boy, filled with fear, went outside and looked around. He wasn't noticing the enemy, but he recognized around the mountaintops, oh, hallelujah, was chariots of fire that was sent to his defense. Put submission. Yeah, that's right. I don't know, was it Elisha or was it the servant that came back in and testified and said, "There's more that be for us than be for them." Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Lord. Put submission in between you and the enemy. I really don't have time to deal with this. Basically, that's what I've been dealing with anyways. Put the sovereign in between you and him. Several times in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, different places, it calls God our defense. Four or five or six times in Psalms 59, he's called my defense. Does that do anything for you? My defense. Remember the football illustration earlier? Where's that defense? It's between the offense and the score and the win. God is my defense. Where's that put him? That puts him between me and the enemy. He's my guard and tackle. He's my center. He's my tight end. Hallelujah. He's the one hiking the ball, carrying the ball, throwing the ball, running the ball. He's kicking the ball. He is all of it. I just get to celebrate in the victory. Brother Craig, what efforts do we make? I'm right now done. What efforts do we make to put God as our defense between us and the enemy? Most of the time, when we turn to, listen, I'm talking about we that are saved. When we turn to the Lord, it's when we're nigh unto death. We've been kicked, stomped, shot, stabbed, and we're on our last leg. And then that's when we turn to the Lord. Why do we have to go that far? You know why we get in that shape? We're trying to wrestle against flesh and blood. We're trying to put, amen, come on now. There's only two sources that you can try. One is physical, wrestling with flesh and blood. And you already said you can't wrestle the devil fleshly, physically, because he's not physical. He's not. You can't see him, handle him, touch him, or all that. Amen? So what's the other one, Brother Craig? I seen you say it. Spiritual. Putting on the whole armor. Making sure we're right. Make sure you're saved first. Make sure you're right with God. Amen? Putting on the righteousness and truth and the gospel of peace, and the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith, and sword of the Spirit, and having all of that tied together with the girt about with truth, that belt of truth that holds it all together. Stay with truth, amen. It's no time to leave and abandon your Bible. It's no time to abandon church. It's no time, amen, to abandon preaching. It's no time for that. Oh, no. Stay with truth. Put truth. Put truth between you and the enemy. enemy. So when the enemy starts hitting and attacking and shooting, amen, to try to defeat you, don't touch it, don't get to you because of what you put between you and the enemy. Amen. Here's another one you could put between you and the enemy. It's in Revelations. It's really for tribulation saints, but we can make application. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen. Plead the blood of Jesus. When the attack comes personally, when the attack comes in your home, listen, amen. And the thing that we need to understand here is that everybody's got a will. And that simply means, Brother Aaron, there's going to be people that's going to make foolish choices in spite of everything you can do. Why? Because they have a will, and God will not override their will. If they resist God and say, no, God, I'm not interested, and they stiffen their neck and become stubborn and stiff-necked, it's going to be bad. There's a wake-up call comes when a person hits the bottom. But we can plead the blood of Jesus because I'm no match. When we plead the blood, that simply means, Lord, I'm going back in my heart and my faith to Calvary when the devil was defeated. I'm claiming that blood as my victory. Amen. And then it said they overcome by the word of their testimony. One of the worst things you can do when the devil's attacking is get silent. You know what you ought to do? Come in, sit down Sunday morning, Sunday school, opening Sunday school, whatever. Yeah, man, that's good. Oh, that's good singing choir. Well, I like it. Hey, preacher, I want to testify this a minute. I'm glad I'm saved. Show me where you have to be hit over the head to do that. I'm not talking about standing up and preach for 30 minutes. Just stand up and say, in spite of the devil, in spite of the flesh, in spite of the attack, I just want to say publicly one more time, I want my voice to put this truth into the air because the Bible said he's the prince of power of the air. I want my voice to say one more time, God is good and it's great to be saved and I'm not going to quit by the grace of God. Amen. And then sit back down and tell them if you don't feel better. Yeah. Testify of truth. You may not be able to testify how you feel. You may not be able to tell all the details, everything, but I'll tell you what, you can testify about truth. The word of testimony. Amen. I still remember, he just died about a week ago, Brother Raymond Geis. And he always told me, he said, preacher, God will anoint truth. God will always anoint truth. He said, when you get in a situation and it's tight as a drum, he said, jump on truth. Get on the blood. Get on something. He said, even get on your testimony because that's truth. Son, I'm telling you, I hadn't been preaching long. I'm talking about just very few times, Brother Jeter. And I was in the pulpit at Middle Fork Baptist Church where I got saved. And it was tight as a drum. I mean, it was beyond tight. And that come back to my mind, what Brother Guy said. I stopped preaching, bowed down to pray. I said, let's pray. And I prayed, and when I come up behind the pulpit from praying, I just started rattling off scripture about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then went from that to my salvation. And brother, I'm telling you, that tight, dark, demonic field place, that thing broke and people started praising the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Listen, get away from your feelings. Take your faith. Run to Calvary. Plead the blood. Thank God you're saved. Amen. And realize you're not in hell and not going to be by the grace of God. That's right. So I'm done. Simply put tonight, if I can't defeat the devil, I can defend him. Not me physically, but I've been given things I can put between me and him. Amen. Amen. So in light of that, if we're defeated, go on defeated, guess whose fault it is? We're leaving the breastplate off, the girdle of truth, feet shod, all of that. We're leaving all that off. We're not putting submission between us and the Lord. We're not making sure we're right with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That so he can lift up a standard. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll take the message tonight and, Lord, our feeble effort, dear Lord, to try to preach it. And Lord, it's just practical truth that you dealt with my heart about, that I thought maybe I'd be preaching at some point in the near future, but I didn't realize I'd be preaching it tonight. But, Lord, it was your will. There's no doubt about that. Lord, I thank you for the freedom, liberty, God, that we had to preach, addressing something that probably every person in here is struggling with, has struggled, is, or maybe fixing to struggle with it some more. Help us, Lord, to put these things to practice. Help us, Lord, to put these things to practice and in place. Lord, when the attack comes, may we grab this right here and this list and these different items of the Lord of the armor, the soldier's armor. Lord, the supplications. Lord, may we immediately and quickly hit our knees in prayer, showing that, Lord, we're weak, but you're strong, and we're asking for your intervention. We're asking for your power and your help. And you told us, Lord, if we'd put on that armor, Lord, that we would stand in the power of your might. And the enemy can't handle that. Lord, take the lesson tonight, the challenge, and speak to all of us with it, Lord. And it'll work for everybody here, work for all of us. And if anybody here tonight is not saved, Lord, that's first base. They have no way of gaining victory at all over the enemy as long as they're on his team and on his side. But Lord, I pray, dear Father, that they'll get saved. I know we have several young kids, young children, young people here lost. And I pray, Father, that Lord, you'd deal with them and they'd realize that they're not only on the devil's side and serving him, but if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell with him. And we know that's where the devil's going according to Scripture. Lord, you said that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. May your will be done, Father. We surely love you. Thank you for giving us a word tonight. May we put it to practice in our own life. In Jesus' name.